We now broadcast the 43rd episode in our ongoing historical series, where we look at the lives and legends of the people and places that went into the making of the Vatican. Today's episode is called A Brave New World, and looks at the period following the end of the First World War, when the so-called Roman question was finally resolved, and Vatican Radio first came into being. The series is written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett.
The year is 1918. Out of the chaos of a war that had involved half the civilized world, the nations were slowly emerging. The old continent of Europe, her physiognomy changed beyond recognition, her peoples dismembered, sought desperately to rise from the debris and build a new world from the ashes of the old.
Everywhere the troops were returning home, lean, ragged, but still young men, with disenchantment in their eyes. Never again would people believe in the glory of war. The sordid reality of the trenches and gas warfare had been revealed in all its starkness by the letters and dispatches from the front, by the poems of men like Wilfred Owen and Siegfried Sassoon, by novels like All Quiet on the Western Front by Erich Maria Remarque.
An indication of changing times had been the participation of the New World in the events of Europe. Not only a common language and a common culture, but a sense of the brotherhood of man. The world must be made safe for democracy was the slogan with which the United States entered the war in 1917.
Rapidity of communications meant that news of the Great War had penetrated even the innermost depths of the African continent, as Dr. Albert Schweitzer, the German humanitarian, recorded in his diary.
Important events not directly connected with the war occurred during those sober years. The opening of the Panama Canal, the Irish Easter Rising of 1916, and a year later, the Russian Revolution.
In the years following the war, people lived life at fever pitch. The bright young things of the roaring 20s danced to the frenetic rhythm of the Charleston, a generation determined to live for the present because it was uncertain that there would be a future.
The spirit of the age was reflected in its music and art. The music of George Gershwin, of Ravel, Stravinsky, Prokofiev, the art of Braque and Picasso. Marcel Proust was writing in stream of consciousness.
Post-war reconstruction was slow. A climate of unemployment and inflation aided the rise of fascism. By 1925, Mussolini had declared himself dictator. 2 years earlier, a man named Adolf Hitler had founded the National Socialist Party in Germany. And from far-off China came news of a split between nationalist and communist leaders. The world was shrinking fast.
Everywhere, it seemed, things were falling apart. Nothing again would ever be quite the same. The old easy pace of gracious living had been swept away in the flood. A whole social structure was crumbling.
While in Rome, the cardinals were choosing a successor to Benedict XV, Pope of the First World War, and the first pope to be publicly mourned by the secular state.
The new pope came from the middle classes, son of a silk industrialist. Pius XI was the first pope to issue a full-scale, unconditional condemnation of communism in his encyclical Divini Redemptoris of March the 19th, 1937.
The pontificate of Pius XI was marked by two significant happenings, the signing of the Lateran Pacts and the inauguration of Vatican Radio.
On February the 11th, 1929, the Vatican, so-called as a place, ceased to exist. It became instead Vatican City, an independent state subject to international law and with all the rights and privileges thereto pertaining. The Pope was the sovereign of the new Vatican City State, which covered a territory of about 109 acres, with extraterritorial rights over certain buildings in Rome and over Castel Gandolfo.
Thus, a peaceful solution to the thorny Roman question had finally been found.
To commemorate the conciliation between church and state, Benito Mussolini gave orders for the old Borgo, the street leading from Castel Sant'Angelo to St. Peter's, to be demolished. In its place, a wide avenue was built, today's Via della Conciliazione. Among the houses which were destroyed in the process was that containing Raphael's studio.
The Vatican celebrated the signing of the Lateran Pacts in the traditional way, with a pontifical high mass. H.V. Morton, in his book A Traveller in Rome, records the event.
The Pope was borne into the church in the state palanquin, while trumpets sounded, Peacock fans waved and the packed church shouted its head off in welcome. For the first time in 48 years, Rome was seeing a pope who was no longer the prisoner of the Vatican. Within a few yards of the altar, at which no priest save the pope may officiate, I watched the intricacies of pontifical high mass. Hardly less interesting than the pope himself was the figure of a prelate in a red soutane and a lace rochet, the master of ceremonies, who pulled a cardinal into place here and waved another there with a hasty wave of his hand. He was like the spirit of orthodoxy, a living and visible proof of the complexity of tradition. And the princes of the church obeyed him as if they were erring choir boys.
Pius XI was nothing if not a promoter of science and progress. In 1929, within 4 days of the signing of the Lateran Pacts, he sent for the inventor of the wireless, Guglielmo Marconi, and asked him to build a radio station inside the Vatican.
It was on a fine spring morning of the year 1895 that 21-year-old Guglielmo Marconi conducted the last of a series of experiments in what was soon to be called wireless telegraphy, known today as sound radio.
The initial skepticism which greeted the invention quickly disappeared as the world began to realize its usefulness to society.
Ships were fitted out with radio apparatus, and the signals sent by radio officers saved many lives.
In 1909, Marconi was awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics. Universities all over the world gave him honorary degrees. In 1929, the King of Italy made him a marquis.
But Marconi's head was not turned by all the honors. He continued to work at his invention, perfecting it and seeking new ways of applying it. When he died in July 1937, he was still at work.
February the 12th, 1931, the inauguration of the Vatican radio station. Marconi's voice preceded that of Pope Pius XI.
Inaugurerà la stazione radio dello Stato della Città del Vaticano.
Io arcano dei consiglio succedimus in loco principis apostolorum e orum lembe, quorum doctrina et predicatio, justo divino, ad omne gentis et ad omnem creatura.
The series was written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett.